I'm going to leave you with a big-hearted fellow that I've known for a while, Dennis Kinzer.
Well, thanks for that pressure. The only thing that's going for me is I didn't have to follow a certain person's granddaughter, because that would be a hard act to follow. Well, it is an honor to be here, and you know, before I got here, I was talking to Duke, and he was telling me about his prayers to God, and one of the prayers he said, God, is it true for you that one penny is like $1 million? And God said, yeah, Duke, it is. You know, Duke's trying to get in on this. He said, God, is it true that to you that 1 minute is like 1,000 years? And God replied, yes, Duke, it really is. He finally asked, because he built up the nerve to ask God, and he said, God, will you give me a penny? Certainly, God answers, it's only going to take a minute. So, don't worry, today I'm going to speak for a minute. I get to share a ministry that I'm involved in. First of all, I am honored to be here and to speak the gospel, but also to share and to add into that Brianna's hope. Brianna D. Batiste was a young lady in Red Key, Indiana. Beautiful girl. And in junior high, she started to dabble in drugs, alcohol and marijuana. By the time she graduated, she was a full-blown addict. Heroin was her drug of choice. Her mom and dad obviously were really concerned about their daughter, and different times sent her to rehab. Brianna, you need to go. I do need to go. But she didn't want to go. And so every time she would come back within 30 days, she would relapse and got back into drugs, into the same culture that she had been used to growing up in her school days. One day she went missing. And obviously after that evening, her mom panicked and they started an area search for Brianna D. Batiste. It became a statewide search, and then it became a multi-state search. She went missing in June of 2014. September of that year, about three and a half months later, some hunters were out and walking through the woods. They came upon, they call it an abandoned cemetery. It wasn't really abandoned. It was just one that was full, and they couldn't use it anymore. And hunters have this thing called a death smell, and they sensed that something wasn't right because they could smell this odor. And they went looking to see where it was, and Brianna's body was found by a headstone, and she was covered up. So they knew it wasn't animals, and she had been murdered. And this will be the most disgusting thing I say. Supposedly, but her head was missing, her left arm was missing, and her right hand was missing. So probably the person that she had said, let's be friends, or I love you that morning, killed her, left her body in a cemetery. The body parts still haven't been found. And from that, Brianna's hope started. One of the times she came back from one of the rehabs, they had taught her how to journal, or said how important it was, and she was a faithful journal writer, and she had given her mom permission. You can read my journal anytime, Mom. I'm not hiding anything from you. And so her mom did, and in the course of her reading the journal, they found this, what we call Brianna's prayer. It's one of our foundational documents in Brianna's hope. This was in her own handwriting. It says, please, Lord, look after me and my family. Please help me do the right thing and to show people that I'm not a bad person inside or out. And help me, Lord, get through this disappointment again. And know I make mistakes, but who doesn't? I don't do it to do wrong. I do it because I feel I have no other choice. I want a better life, Lord. I do. Please help me. Do to me as what you feel is best. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So that was written probably sometime between Sunday that she went missing and the day she went missing, because her mom had continued to read her journal and found that. One of the saddest things that I could think of is losing a son or daughter, especially in this way. And you know, we study that twice a year. That's one of the things we do, line by line. Takes us 8 or 9 weeks. Brianna's Hope chapters are 40 chapters strong right now. It's soon to be 44. And it's revived my desire for ministry. And I had stepped down from pastoring, 5 or 6 years ago, and got involved in a startup church. But then I heard Randy Davis, who was the pastor for Brianna and her family, talk about this, and it started to prick some interest in me, and it became obviously a ministry. Newcastle, we've had as many as 94 at one meeting. In Nicetown, where we started another chapter, we've had 55 in a meeting. And you know, every time I think about this, I wonder where God is leading this ministry. We've had people as young as 11 years old attend, and as old as 72 that need Brianna's Hope. We have volunteers a lot older than that. We've got a couple people in their 80s in Nicetown that know how serious this issue is in their community. And so they volunteer their time. And before we even get going, I appreciate your meeting so much, because not only have you supported it financially, but you've also supplied a couple meals. The ladies have been very generous, and the participants appreciate it. In fact, one time Ralph got to even attend. So I won't call him a lady, but you know, he was told what to do. Typical husband. I want you to think about what we are, Brianna's Hope. First of all, we don't try to convince the addicts and the strugglers and overcomers that their past is wrong. We try to convince the addict, struggler, and overcomers that we care more about their present and the future. We accept the struggler just like they are. We don't accept them like we hope they'll turn out to be. We don't accept them as someone who doesn't meet our expectations, our standards. We accept them regardless of where they are in their journey to a better life. In other words, we accept those that are hurting, and we try our best to love the unlovable. And so with that being said, when I decided what to talk about today, it was loving the unlovable. And I'm using a real brief text out of Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. It says, "Large crowds followed Jesus as he came down from the mountainside. Suddenly, a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. 'Lord,' the man said, 'if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean.' Jesus reached out and touched him. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be healed.' And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus said to him, 'Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required by the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you've been clean.'" May God add his blessings to the reading of his word. And let's step forward into our talk about not only loving the unlovable, but Brianna's Hope. You know, I'm asked all the time, has it made a difference in people's lives? And I say, yes. And they say, has it made a difference in their lives? And I pull this out because a speaker who had come in from New York to speak at Brianna's Hope We were down at the park restaurant. He wanted to eat before we got there, and we were, you know, just laughing and talking. He was sharing his story. I was sharing the story about Brianna's hope. And a lady came by. As we were continuing talking, she tapped me on the shoulder, and she handed me this napkin. I'm thinking, oh, boy, I wonder what's on that napkin. And, you know, I know a lot. I grew up in Newcastle. I know a lot of people. That can be good or bad. But I opened up her napkin. It says, please pray for Joshua tonight, probably her son. She heard the talk about Brianna and Brianna's hope, and she wanted her son to be prayed for. Another thing that happened, and I asked this morning if I could use an offering plate. I was looked at like, oh man, please don't take up an offering for yourself. But one time I'm standing there ready for a meeting in Newcastle, and a gal comes in and she gives me this Wendy sack, and she said, here, Mom wanted to give this to you. And in the sack, I'm holding it, I'm thinking, it feels like a half order eating of French fries. So I open it up. The lady was a former teacher here at Newcastle. If I mentioned her name, you would know her. And I opened it up, and it's on the front it says, to Dennis Kinzer, to help with Brianna's hope. In it was $3.63 in pennies, nickels, and dimes from a lady in a nursing home that she saved this. She probably lives on $50 a month, I don't know. But her granddaughter has issues, and her $3.63 have meant a lot more to me than some of the bigger gifts I got. And so you're lucky I'm not taking up an offering for myself. But I do want you to know that it does affect people. And we look at this example of Jesus, and what an example of loving the unlovable. I mean, Jesus reached out and touched the leper. Well, number one, that leper had been shunned by society. He was unclean in their beliefs, and he couldn't even stay with family or friends. And Jesus touched him, let alone talk to him. He touched him. Leprosy then was about like AIDS was a few years ago, and probably still in some of the communities around. You know, it's a struggle for us to accept him in our society. People want to stay away from him. They want to stay away from those that are struggling with addictions. And we don't use the term addict in our chapters when we have a discussion. We use the term strugglers because once they have taken that step to get involved, they're struggling, but they're struggling for a better life. But then I think, aren't we all? I mean, something, we struggle with about everything. But here, people didn't want to touch those with leprosy, and we don't want to touch the strugglers today. And once that someone falls under the influence of an addiction, and you know, it can be devastating to their lives. And this isn't the only time that Jesus touched someone that was unlovable. There's a Samaritan woman at the well, and here's a Jewish man not only talking, probably touching this Samaritan, but no Jew would even ever think about doing that. There was a man at the temple that didn't have anybody that would touch him and get him to the healing pool, but yet Jesus did. There's the woman that touched Jesus' robe because she had been, had an issue for 28 years, and Jesus healed her. There was the adulteress who everybody wanted to stone, but Jesus reached down and touched her and saved her. But you know, it's not always about people like that. It's about people that are ending up being very good. The story of Matthew. Wait a minute. Matthew is one of the disciples, and he was one of the authors of the Bible. He wrote down what God told him to write down. But yet when Jesus saw him, he said, follow me. Now, the Romans, they just used the tax collectors for getting money. The Jewish people thought they were traitors. And so Matthew didn't really have any friends. Yet Jesus said, follow him, and he got up to follow him, and they went to Matthew's house. And it says the disciples and the Pharisees were out there talking because Jesus was inside with tax collectors and sinners. What in the world was Jesus doing? So here's an easy question for you to think about, and you can answer. Who's unlovable in our society today? Who's an outcast today? Who are the ones that are whispered about, or made to feel unclean, or told to change their habits before they can join our church? It's the ones that society calls an addict. And this is what Brianna's Hope is all about. However, this is what the church should be all about: loving the unlovable, touching the ones that no one else wants to touch, because there are some of those people. You know, every week we pass out little tags, victory tags. They go from 1 week, every 30 days level, up to 3 years. At 3 years, we call them overcomers. And it's amazing how people that a lot of you know, that a lot of you see every day, they just want to be touched. So anyway, they pass out the tags. And, you know, if they're on this side, I come and I'll shake their hands. And if it's a lady passing out the tags, they'll get a hug or another handshake. And as they pass, I'll shake their hand again, tell them I'm proud of them. But this touch that they so desperately want, they hang on. They hang on to your hand just a little extra. Or if it's a young lady that has finally worked on getting out of her addictions, and whatever the reason caused her to, they'll want a hug. And, you know, it's nothing sexual, but it's a hug where they just hang on just a little bit longer because they want to be touched by someone. They want that human acceptance. And has it affected people? And you need to know about acceptance. There's a 52-year-old gentleman that his grandfather started him drinking whiskey at 5 years old. In 150 days now, he's been clean. So for 47 years, he's been an alcoholic. There's a 32-year-old gentleman in Knightstown that a couple months ago, he got a 60-day pen. And he walked by, shook my hand, and he went. And as he came back to his seat, he stopped and looked at me so nobody could hear him. He said, Dennis, I'm going to tell you something. 60 days is the longest time I've been clean since I was 11 years old. Also, there's a man whose son got addicted to meth. And showed me a picture at 30, his son at 30. At 30 years, 6 months, the son was dead, laying on a slab. He said, Mr. Dennis, I just want to feel his heartbeat one more time. But his son decided, hey, I could afford my habit, my addiction, by cooking meth. It's very dangerous. And he inhaled something that, as it was cooking, and instantly killed him. The only unfortunate thing, well, one of the unfortunate things I've felt since I became involved with Brianna's Hope is the fact that the church isn't much different than society. I mean, they do look down their holy note, and I'm saying the church, the whole church. This church has been very, very supportive of it, and I do appreciate it. But I'm talking about churches, and you can go look at them. But they look down their noses at them, and they wonder, what good is it? They laugh at, they talk about, they whisper out strugglers more than they help them. You know, Jesus always said, follow me and you'll change. Society, churches will say, change, then we'll accept you to go along with us. I keep thinking about Matthew. Here's a man that God entrusted to write his first gospel in the Bible. How the other disciples looked at him. How the religious leaders at the time looked at him. And then how Jesus said, follow me and you'll change. Well, it's not different than a lot of the other disciples. I mean, they all followed Jesus for 3 years, and yet they jumped off his bandwagon like rats off a ship when the pressure was on. So it took 3 years, and they still didn't change enough. So what are we doing with it? People like that with Brianna's Hope? I mean, we're all addicted to one thing or another. And I read a quote that said, we're either addicted to carbohydrates, food, or paycheck, money, or an illegal substance, or legal substance, alcohol. And one thing that we learn, and we always tell a chapter when we're going through training, you got to have the skin of an alligator and the compassion of a lamb. People judge us. People judge the participants. They judge the facilitators. They judge the volunteers. Dennis, are you going to let those people into the building? Are you really safe hanging out with those people? Do you really want people like that in a church building? And here's a quote from somebody as I was helping at the place prepare a meal. They wanted peanut butter sandwiches. They were bringing soup, so I was in there making peanut butter sandwiches and cutting them, you know. And I just happened to knock three or four off of my stack. And a gentleman was there in the window. They had had a Bible study going on, so there's people. And I reached down to pick it up, and I was going like this, throw it in the trash. He said, oh, don't worry about it, Dennis. They're just druggies. That's a nice church member. I just about went non-Christian at the time, but I didn't. I've been asked, is it really worth it? Worth what? Worth dealing with those people. I said, yes. At Brianna's Hope, we accept everybody. And so there's laughing, and there's fellowship, and there's hugging, and they share. A lot of times at church, we don't want to share because there's such a stigma about what's going on. And I looked at that guy and said, yeah, it is worth it, because that's the way heaven's going to be. If you look at it, except for the crying, heaven's going to be that way. And he just kind of harumphed and said, well, it's because you fix them a meal. And I said, you know what? You ought to start fixing a breakfast at your church to get the people back in there. He didn't think that was appropriate, so we quit that conversation. But all this is what Brianna's Hope is about. We accept those who are struggling. We want to be their friend. We want to walk alongside them in the good times and bad. We're non-judgmental. We're faith-based. We're confidential, and we're as compassionate as we can be. You think about it, isn't that what the church should be? Compassionate as we should be. That's one of the things Jesus taught us. And I've got some verses I want to read. Matthew 9:6, talking about Jesus. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had compassion. Then he guided them. Matthew 14:14, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Had compassion, then he healed them. Matthew 15:32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people, and they've already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Jesus had compassion, then he provided them a meal. Matthew 20:34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Compassion, then he gave them vision. The list of compassion goes on and on. Compassion about healing. Compassion, then he embraced them. Compassion, and he comforted them. Finally, one last verse, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Compassion is the first thing we're supposed to clothe ourselves with. Loving the unlovable. That's Brianna's Hope. Loving the unlovable. should be the church's desire. I love it. And I hope that down the road you find it in your heart and you can love it too. See, over and over again, we're asked, is Brianna's hope successful? Well, you know, that's a hard thing to say. And you look at society, we have a cancer society, but we still have cancer. We have a law enforcement, but there's still people that break laws. We have a great educational system, throw that in there for an ex-teacher that I know. And still, there are some that fall through the cracks. Jesus went on to say, change the world. And we've done a real poor job about that. So if we can help Brianna's Hope help one person, we're successful. Over the last 5 years, we've been responsible. Haven't had to pay for all of them because some had in. But in 5 years, we've been responsible for sending over 800 people to rehabilitation. Are they all successful? No. But there are some that we've helped. Like I said, we don't care about their past. We don't care about yesterday's. We don't care what drove them to Brianna's Hope. We cared about their today's and their tomorrow's. We don't worry about the struggle they're at. We worry about the struggler. That, again, is Brianna's Hope, just in a nutshell. But again, that's what the church should be like, that somebody can come here and not be judged and have somebody walk alongside them, have somebody put their arm around them, have somebody shake their hands. You see, I read you Brianna's prayer. And Newcastle Nightstown, we always end with what's called the Other Serenity Prayer, which says, God, grant me the serenity, stop beating myself for not doing things perfectly. The courage to forgive myself because I'm working on doing better, and the wisdom to know that you already love me just the way I am. Of course, I always use quotes during our meetings because it gets conversation started. And if I didn't leave it with you, there's a couple people here that would give me a hard time. But here's a quote that I like. Church folks and God folks just ain't the same. Church folks go to church. God folks are the church. Think about that. And all God's people said, amen.
Now, if you'll stand and turn in your brown hymnal to page 641.